you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell. Oi! Right, you are tuned to BBC London 94.9. It's my absolute delight to welcome John the Cabbie for second time 2009. How you doing, John?
I'm all right. I'm fine today.
Put that way.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. But as a matter of interest, if anybody wants to talk about the this campaign that was on this bus that says there's probably no God, so don't worry about it. If anybody wants to try and prove to me there is, Ollie, or not, then fine. 020-722-42000. But, John, you're here to prove to me that walking around Parliament Square is a worthwhile venture.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, it's beautiful. That's where we are tonight, in right. Parliament Square itself. Our back to the river. If you can imagine your...
So where are we starting?
We're starting off at Bridge Street and Parliament Square. So you're at the corner of the Parliament building itself, the Houses of Parliament, and we're looking towards the statue of Winston Churchill. He's there, isn't he?
Yeah.
In that haunched back... That beautiful old coat, that lovely old stick, especially on a, especially tonight, honestly, seeing him tonight with that light shining down upon him, bit of fog in the air, I'm expecting Sherlock or whoever to pop along, but there's something special. This is a, look, this is a World Heritage site.
Do you know there's only one statue on that square that I think does justice to itself?
I know.
And that is Nelson Mandela.
Because
you can stand next to him.
Now, we're going to talk about
it. All right, all right.
I'll tell you the reason why. We'll talk about it now. I think it's important. We're just looking at the view, what you'll see, where we're standing.
Mm-hmm.
We see Winston in front of us. We see the Treasury building to our right, which has been refurbished completely inside, gutted completely. Edwardian, Portland stone, beautiful balustrades. You'll notice, again, the anti-lorry stuff, the bollards going up, the barriers, a sign of the times. You'll notice Winston there with the light shining down upon him. You'll notice in the background to the north of the square... you'll actually see some scaffolding up on part of a building. That's the jewel in the crown we'll talk about right at the end. Again, a fine-looking building. The scaffolding's coming down. You'll notice the workmen are inside, taking bits of it out. This is a Grade 1, I think, listed building,
yeah.
If not Grade 2. The Treasury is a Grade 2. Beautiful-looking building in itself. There's dark green hoardings in the distance. Abraham Lincoln, George Canning on Canning Green. Funny enough, two streets off here. Great George Street. You know,
there we go. Yeah.
There's not a big George Street, but there's a little George
Street. There will be one day, John. There will be one day.
Yeah, there's a little George Street. We have Broad Sanctuary and then Little Sanctuary at the back of the Guildhall, the Middlesex Guildhall. And then to our left, what you'll notice is a grey stone, a small church called St. Margaret's. A beautiful, a stunning church. And what you can, if you look up closely, you probably get a better view from Parliament Street, but you will hear, is notice the blue clock face. I only say because it's a sky blue and it jumps out at you, especially on a dark night. And then behind it is that gothic Westminster Abbey. It's just, it looks like missiles ready to take off, some of the turrets. The stonework is so ornate.
Yeah.
I mean, the carving is so intricate. It really is just out of this world. And we haven't even looked to our left at the Palace of Westminster. 8 acres of a site. Charles Barry, after a big fire, a competition took place, and he won. And he then produced one of the finest buildings that's ever been seen mm-hmm. on this planet.
Yeah.
This is the home of democracy. It's the home, oddly enough, of a spiritual world.
Yeah.
It's where Christianity and, well, modern-day politics merge and meet. I mean, we have the Lord's, what do they call them? Temporal, don't we? And then we have the Lord's spiritual.
That's right.
And the Lord's spiritual are the bishops of this land, they are.
Yeah.
Who have, you know, are entwined in our constitution.
You know, there's no footings to that. You know, if you build a place now, you've got to go down at least a metre and a half.
Yeah.
You look at that building there, they go down less than 6 inches.
And that's why they've got the barriers where they are. On St. Margaret Street, you'll notice on Old Palace Yard, the reason why they have barriers up is a secondary blast could take a wall out. Take a wall out, the roof comes down.
Yeah.
Now, we may well have to, shortly close Parliament. The building needs a lot of work done. They have a choice. Keep it open, take 10, 15 years, or close it and then relocate the operation of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the two debating chambers we're talking about.
Yeah.
The sites they're looking at is the Methodist Central Hall, just further north on Broad Sanctuary, or they're going to look at maybe the Queen Elizabeth, the most, great conference centre probably inside. What an ugly building outside. It really is tantamount to 60s, 70s concrete,
mm-hmm.
awful architecture. But it serves a function, busy place. But we're just looking at Parliament Square itself. I am going to mention a certain chap who sits there. I think he's become a monument.
Yeah.
He's not, but he is one.
Let me see if I can do it. Who, me? Brian Orr? Well, you want to talk about me?
Yeah.
Outside of Parliament? Do you know what? He's one of the things that I think makes this country great. And I'll tell you why. They wanted to stop him being there. The government said he's an embarrassment. You know, every time we come in, he heckles us.
Mm.
They then had him removed. He went to court, and the court said, no, he's allowed to protest. And whether you like the fact that he's protesting or what he's protesting about, the fact is that in this country, you can stand outside the home of democracy, you can stand outside the home of the leaders, and they will allow you to protest.
Yeah, you need permission in that area. But you can still do it. When people say you can't protest, you can. But you need permission. But Brian has been there for a number of years. I personally often say this. I do believe we need an office for banners for people that protest. I do think it should be funded by the taxpayer, so at least you can read what they're protesting. What some people need to realise is, if you don't work your letters and your words out in your banner, by the time you get the last word, it never fits.
Yeah.
There's nothing looks worse when you read, I'm protesting about, and then you can't read the last word, especially when you're driving. I do believe an office of protest wouldn't go amiss.
No, I understand that.
It's a simple idea. But a history of this area, you wouldn't believe that. Dates back to the 10th century. A small monastery used to sit on Thorny Island, it was called, which is where St. Margaret's Church is now. So St. Margaret's Church, we talk 10th century. And that's where the Abbey is now. There was grass and garden area in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a few obviously properties and whatever. That was the churchyard of St. Margaret's Church. A lawn then was laid here in 1780. A lawn was laid. I talked about a fire, didn't I? 1834. That's when the medieval Westminster Palace was destroyed.
Right.
And that's when a competition then took place. Charles Barry, as I've already said, won. 8 acres I mentioned, that goes along the Thames, because at the end of Parliament, what you do have, people forget, is Victoria Gardens. It's a beautiful garden right at the end by Blackrod's Gates. There was a fantastic garden, worth a look. You can kick football, sit there in the summer, do whatever you like, sit there in the winter. You can't sit there at night, though. It was a neo-Gothic building he built, which was completed in 1852. Then the clock tower, as we know, is St. Stephen's.
Do you know why it's called Big Ben? There's two theories.
About the bell, you mean?
Yeah, the bell. Why they call it Big Ben. And why we just think of it as Big Ben. See, no, they reckoned... I looked into this. Because, I love history. I'll bore you for a second.
No? Go on.
There's two things. One is that it's named after Sir Benjamin Hall, who was the first Minister of Works.
Yes.
But also, on Parliament Square, on the Green, in, I think it was 1845... There was, maybe a bit earlier than that, there was a bare-knuckle boxing match between an American whose name I can't remember, who was the world champion, and the British champion, Big Ben Caunt, his name was. C-A-U-N-T. Big Ben Caunt. And they fought for 93 rounds until neither of them could stand or see, because they were just a mass of blood. Now, bare-knuckle boxing was illegal, but everyone from Parliament came out, and at the end of the punch-up, everybody cheered Big Ben Caunt, because he wasn't the world champion, but he'd held the world champion for 93 rounds. And whoever it was that gave the order, someone in Parliament gave the order for the bell to ring, and everybody was chanting, because it was like for Big Ben. You know, and that's how it got the name. Because, and I have to believe that one, because Sir Benjamin Hall couldn't punch his way out of a wet paper bag. So as far as I'm concerned, it is champion boxer Big Ben Corn. Anyway,
well,
John.
St. Stephen's Tower, that was completed in 1958. Big Ben is the bell. St. Stephen, all the cab drivers know this anyway, and a lot of your listeners will know this already. It's been talked about here and on other shows on this station. St. Stephen's Tower, that was completed in 1858. Barry also redesigned the square and the gardens in 1868. However, this area was damaged now, George, after the Second World War, and an architect appointed by it was the Ministry then of Transport, called Gray Warnham, in 1948 redesigned the square and created that central garden. Because people forget, if you look behind the protesters that sit in front of Parliament, mm-hmm. and now, so remember where we're looking now, we're looking to the north, we are. Okay, what you'll note, not the north, it'll be to, I was going to get never each ready way, to the west is. You've got to be careful here, because the north actually is looking up towards Parliament Street, right. Whitehall. So if you're looking towards where the big green holding is and the Supreme Court's going to be.
Hold on a minute. Ollie's just said you can't say never eat shredded wheat. That's an acronym for north, east, west, south.
Yeah, shredded wheat, exactly right.
Have you ever eaten shredded wheat with tomato sauce, Ollie? Okay, well then, nor have I. Actually, I have had cornflakes with tomato sauce and water. That was the only, we didn't have any milk. But we would like to point out here on the BBC that it is safe to eat shredded wheat. And if anybody can eat three of them, apparently you can take over the world. Sorry then, John.
No, no problem at all. Gray Warnham in 1940, he redesigned the central garden there in the square. That was done for the Ministry of Transport. This is now a World Heritage Site. Parliament, St Margaret's and Westminster Abbey, they were designated in 1987. Parliament Square Gardens are listed, Grade 2 listed in 1996, as by English Heritage. And the square now comes under the responsibility of the Mayor of London. Now, what has happened recently, there was a proposal to pave over one side of the square, and that would be the side of the square by St Margaret's Church. So if you come out St Margaret Street and turn left into the square as we do now, they were going to pave that area over. The present Mayor of London, Mayor Boris Johnson, has decided not to. It's going to cost about £16 to £18 million. Decided to leave it alone. One, traffic couldn't cope in the area. Two, do you know what? I like the square as it is. It's functional. It works. It's alive. The taxis, the buses, the cars, the people, they interact. That's what's beautiful about London. Mm-hmm. It's like poetry in motion. Seeing
around
traffic,
this bit, is,
it
yeah.
is. Yeah, it has been. Seeing MPs running across the road. Not waiting for a
division
cab.
Bell.
Yeah, when the
I love it when
goes.
That division bell goes and you see them all
when
running.
You see a cab light go. Yeah. Do you know what? It's amazing to see. They put a new only a couple of years ago they put a new light in for the cab drivers on Bridge Street and the corner of Parliament Square. And the bell weren't. I mean, it was quite funny things were happening, like, you know.
So if they want, if someone wants a cab, they push the bell and then you know that there's someone waiting.
They have a light. They do. It's a privilege rank.
All right.
Inside the Commons, inside the entrance when you go in.
What does that mean, the privilege rank?
A member of the House can always go at the front.
Right.
A member of the House takes precedence over a worker in the House, someone who works or someone that visits.
Okay.
I mean, that's just, they have privilege inside when it comes to cups of tea and dining, because of the nature of the business of the Commons.
John, do you remember about a year ago we was talking about these torches that people could have to hail cabs? Have they come out?
Yeah, I mean, they did, but I mean, it's like, you've got your arm, haven't you? I mean.
Yeah, so that never really caught on?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, but certain buildings, what you notice is certain hotels, they have the light, you know, some places do just stick a light out and it just flashes for a taxi.
I hailed a cab tonight with just my hand. It was Peter and gave me a lift down the road. Ollie was waiting for me and I knew how upset he gets if I'm not there. He just starts to cry.
I call it so Fingo, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just use your
Fingo! Hand. There we go, yeah.
Put your hand out. Hail a cab. It's
one. Anyway, let's go on with Carlos, so because I love it.
World Heritage Site is, I mean, Grade 2 listed the gardens. This square is so important, and it is because of its spiritual nature and the democratic ideals. And remember what's happened in this square just in recent times when you consider ad hoc demonstrations. Remember, for example, that some of the hunting bill that was going through Parliament recently under this under the previous Labour government, and what happened outside. I met Ian Duncan Smith on the very green in the middle. He came out in support of the hunting, you know, against the hunting bill mm-hmm. that went through. The square was transformed into, it was as if you were at Crufts, with Labradors, gun dogs, packs of foxhounds, terriers, whatever were up there. The countryside come to London. And then, you know, I'm not on about the big demonstration of the million, but these, you know, when certain parts of the bills, the violence that's happened in this area, you know, then because people, you cannot close the gates to Parliament. You cannot remove the free passage of our parliamentarians. It's important that order and the business of the day takes part.
Yep.
So the police have a duty to keep the business of Parliament going.
Yep.
when we had the issue with someone lobbing some powder.
That was Farmers Justice,
Tony,
yeah.
Right Honourable Tony Blair.
Yeah.
Parliament was locked down, wasn't it?
Not before most of them run out.
Well, that's the problem. They did run out. I mean, no.
They shouldn't have done it. Do you know what? They should have all been fined for that. Do you know what? If that would have been... This is... I can never understand this. This is the whole thing about Parliament self-regulating.
Yeah.
They were told in an event like that, if that had been anthrax, they would have poisoned London. Correct. If they'd have stayed inside, then it would have been contained.
Correct.
And, you know, and either way, they would have died because of the anthrax. So running outside wouldn't have saved them, but it would have killed, you know, like tens of thousands, if not millions of people in London.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, I mean... But
lock them in, that's what I say, lock them in.
This area is rich. Now, I'll tell you what I did watch recently. It was a film called, Viva Vendetta.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to mention it. It was filmed, I remember seeing it one night, being filmed. Now, what is interesting, when I saw the final scenes being filmed, I didn't think it looked that good in reality. But I'll tell you what, whatever they do with that film,
yeah,
it looked fantastic.
Colour code it.
Yeah, it looked fantastic, the uniforms, everything that people were wearing, when it got onto the screen. It really did look good. See, something, you know, like, but it was interesting to see Parliament shut down that area. Do you remember also, it was 28 days, wasn't it, when they managed to do the early morning in summer, Westminster Bridge, Parliament Street, the bus knocked
28
over.
Days, yeah, 28 days, not later, 28 days or so.
28
yeah.
days, it was the original Danny Boyle, then he did 28 days later.
Later, that's right, yeah. Do you know, I actually, if you look at that carefully, there is one scene where you see someone right in the distance. And if you look on moviemistakes.com, it's Big George is number one on 28 days. Right, John, okay, let's go.
Let's move on anyway. Now, a couple of quick statues that are not on the square that I do think are, one's a bust, one's a statue. St. Margaret's Street. Now, we're going to turn left. We've got Parliament to our left-hand side on the square, yeah? Now, walk into St. Margaret's Street, which is the first exit out of the square. You'll see Cromwell, the Lord Protector, on our left-hand side, just been cleaned up, looks fantastic. This is the man that has given us, whether we like it or not, the democracy we have today.
Yeah.
We had a republic, he died, we didn't like it, and what we've got now is a constitutional monarch and the systems that we have. Seems to work pretty well in my book. Now, bang opposite him, because Cromwell looks down into the road, he doesn't peer across. And what is interesting now, you'll notice a bust of Charles I, the head of Charles I, is staring across the road at him.
Oh, they were about as big an enemies as you could get.
Well, off with his head, as they say, innit? Threat on the death warrant, and we spoke about that before. Now, we're going to spin back round, back into the square. I'm not going to say exactly where these statues are. You need to find them for yourself, because they're not that difficult to find, but southwest corner, junction of where Broad Sanctuary is, that corner of the square, that's where Mandela stands.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss him, because he's the one at ground level.
And everybody stands next to him.
And that's why we need to get the others off their plimps.
Off their plimps, because, you know, if you took all the plimps away, you could build a beautiful building with all that stone.
And guess what? People would be taking photographs next to these people and asking the same questions they're asking about Mandela.
Yeah.
Now, what is funny, I don't think you mind me saying, is late at night, if he had a fez, he would look like Tommy Cooper. Honestly, the arms are out, you know, where they got him in that pose. Late at night, they think, hang on a minute, who is it? But next to him is Sir Robert Peel.
Yeah.
Robert Peel was a really interesting man. Born in 1788, died in 1850. This was a guy who repealed the Corn Laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's important. And a big social reformer his time. Two terms as a prime minister. And, I mean, you have to remember, he governed on one as a minority government, was appointed by the king, actually governed a minority. Hard thing to do with them, you know, when you haven't got a majority. You're persuading people to work members of your party. The other thing was the Peelers, the Met Police.
Yeah.
This is an amazing man. And I actually do think it's quite good that you've got two amazing men next to each other. Two men, if you think about this, different times that believe in justice and social justice. The sad thing is, Mandela's there next to us, and you can stand next to him and get a photograph. Peel is up on a plinth.
So is Disraeli and Palmerston. Yeah.
We've got Benjamin Disraeli, Earl of Beaconsfield. Again, served as Prime Minister twice in government. Twice he served, actually. 3 decades. Also a writer. He was a writer. Two of his books. I mean, I find this funny. I didn't realise this. I mean, he wrote romances.
I mean, a lot of them do. Think about Lord Archer. He writes...
books.
Yeah, books and words and stuff, yeah.
Then we got another one, which is really interesting. David Lloyd George. Now, this is behind Churchill now. We're switching sides on the square.
Yeah.
Find Churchill. Now, immediately behind him, this statue, he looks wearing a cape.
Oh, it looks like he's about to take off, doesn't it?
He looks like a Nazi professor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, but it doesn't work because it's bronze in colour,
mm-hmm.
and it is a bronze, and it's just On a sunny day, it does not look right. And I'll tell you what it's done. It's cluttered the square. It really has cluttered
It wouldn't have done if they were all on ground level.
No, it wouldn't.
See, if you had them on ground level, it wouldn't. And I mean, it's the same out in Ireland. In Temple Bar, they've got a statue of Phil Lynott, who was the singer with
Phil Lynott. James Joyce is low down, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But Phil Lynott, I mean, I made a pilgrimage to it because he was a big fan. And you stand right next to him, and it's, you know, life size, so you can see how tall he was. And as you say, probably 1,000 people a day, every day, have their picture taken next to him. But, you know, people with kids, and as you said, those kids will ask, who is that? And then they'll find out
themselves.
More.
What will happen is, in the future, when they have children or their partners, they'll pull out photo albums. They'll pull out photo albums and show others, they will. But anyway, we've got David Lloyd George now. I mean, what's interesting about him was, that was put up in 2007. I mean, again, this was a chap who was, 1890 to 1945, he served in Parliament, opposed the Boer War. He took over from Ascot, he did, near the end of the First World War. Two things he did then, though, in his time, it is important to realise, he introduced a naval convoy system and unified command of Allied troops, he did, under Foch, the French general. So right. He unified all the Allied armies under one, give it a purpose, I think, and then we moved on and finally got that nasty war. We're not going to talk about all of them in the square, too many to talk about, because I do want to get to that final building. Another couple to mention is, Winston Churchill, that's just an amazing gentleman. Smuts, he sits there, Disraeli, Lloyd George, we spoke about, Peel, Mandela, I could go on. We got Canning Green, Abraham Lincoln, then on that western side. Probably, if I get to George, I think the most important building of all.
Right, which is what?
Well, it's going to be the new Supreme Court. There's been under the Ministry of Justice and the separation of judiciary from legislature.
Yeah.
You see,
where is this building?
This is in the southwest corner of Broad Sanctuary and Little George Street.
Right.
Okay. And what's beautiful about this building? It's it dates back again. We're talking into the 17th century. The rear door is still 17th century. It's got gargoyles. It looks very gothic, it does. Very odd indeed. I mean, the current building was sort of like upgraded by a chap called Jay Gibson. It was the Middlesex. It's called the Middlesex Guildhall because it was actually the home of the Middlesex County Council.
Mm. Well, this was in Middlesex at one stage, wasn't it?
Well, you could say, but yeah. I mean... Not exactly, but you know, and it's like, but I mean, it's an odd home for Middlesex County Council, right in when you think the home of like governance. I mean, it's odd. But what it was up till recently, it was a Crown Court, actual Crown Court. I mean, you know, there've been some quite famous trials actually gone on here. But what we have now is the separation of judiciary. The law lords will be leaving the House of Lords, and they then take their place. They will in October 2009. In the new Supreme Court for the United Kingdom. This will become, it's going to become the appellate committee of the House of Lords. So if you go to the appeal court, stand in the Strand, and you get a knockback, normally they can refer you, then knock you up, they can, to the House of Lords. They will then knock you over here, then they will, to the actual new Supreme Court. This will be the final place that makes decisions, because we've incorporated the European Courts of Human Rights into our legislature. This is going to be the main place it will, So a fine building, so important, and really will, I think, just make the square even more special and fantastic.
I tell you what, John, I mean, and so far, this has cost us how much? Nothing.
No, it doesn't. It costs us nothing. I mean, we've got...
absolutely nothing to walk around now.
Yeah, nothing at all. I mean, you've got, look, like I said to you, other statues, Viscount Palmerston, Field Marshal, Jan Smuts, you've got wonderful photographs to take here, a nice place to sit down, actually a lovely place to have a picnic when the weather gets better. Mm-hmm. But even on a cold winter's day, do you know what? Just enjoy a walk around Parliament Square. You can't beat it.
And I tell you, a lovely little walk around there, if you are going there, is to walk down Abingdon Street, you know, towards Millbank, over Lambeth Bridge.
Correct.
And then walk across, you walk down Lambeth Palace Road to Westminster Bridge.
Yeah.
Get some beautiful views there, don't you?
Well, that view, you'll notice in the film The Mummy.
Yeah.
When it's crawling across Parliament. I've done a bit of filming there with the back, and you've got to get your lefts and rights. You've got to say, and over on my left is the Commons, and you can get your head in between the Commons and the Lords.
Yeah.
And they're just over your shoulders. You get your lefts and rights correct for screen. It's a fantastic picture. But Parliament Square, the home of governance, a spiritual home for the UK, certainly, and then it's going to be now the home of the judiciary, the final place where decisions will be made. So important. Such a wonderful place. Thank God we live in a wonderful city.
John, thank you very much indeed. Are you in good voice?
I am.
Right, okay then. Oh, now how about that? Wake Ollie up for us. Here we go then. John. Talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. That's John Kennedy there, John the Cabbie coming in, telling you what you can do in this wonderful city of ours for absolutely free on Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. He comes in every week and just takes you around a part of London and shows you all the sights for none money at all on Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. Right, John, I'll see you next week. Where are we going to be looking at?
We're going up Lyre Regent Street, Piccadilly Circus, and then right up Regent Street.
Oh!